Hey, y'all. This one is explicit.
Hello, Jessica.
Hi, Elsie. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Oh my God, I'm so excited. There's tickles in my belly.
Really?
Yes. Yes, because the podcasting school for women car is open.
I thought maybe you drank a soda.
Oh, no. No, I haven't.
Yay, podcasting school. I'm so excited. First of all, thank you for redoing it with me. I'm so excited that you're in on it. You've made it 800 billion times better, and it was pretty good to start.
It was pretty amazing, which is why it was so exciting, because it was like, oh my God. Yeah. But yeah, we're really thrilled by it, and there's so much in there, and there's so much love in there, and both of us are really passionate about it, so we're so excited, and it's kind of nerve-wracking, because it's like, oh my God, it's live.
Yeah. So those of you who are ready to get your podcast going, and you need a little assistance and you want all the tech videos you could ever hope for, this is it. And they get one-on-ones with each of us, right?
Yes, absolutely. So it's going to be awesome. So if you guys go to podcastingschoolforwomen.com, you can check out a lot of the stuff that
check
is there.
Check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're actually going to go a little deeper into that in just a little bit. But first, we got a little bit of feedback from a man. We got a man feedback. And this is from Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting. And the funny part is that he sent it to the phone. We have a Google Voice number for the feed, you know, the other podcast that I co-host. And he sent it to that. I don't know why, but he sent it over there. And he's like,
he was doing it too. I mean, it wasn't like he was like, I don't know where to send it. He goes, I'm leaving you this for this.
Yes, that's all what he right. said. So you'll hear him say it. Do so it. I just wanted to let you know in case you didn't understand it. But well, I'll play these because it was like a double back-to-back voice feedback here. So I will play back-to-back and then I will respond. Here we go.
Right on.
Hey, Elsie, it's Dave Jackson. I'm listening to She Podcast. So this is actually, I'm calling the feed line to comment on She Podcast. I subscribe to all my shows. And so to pull a clip from me in Clamor, I just go to Add a Clamor, My Podcast, Find My Show, and then clip it from there. Likewise, I'm subscribed to many podcasts about podcasting, and when I hear something good, I stop the show right there, look at the time, make my Clamor, and clam it. So that's how I'm making all these Clamors. I guess I'm listening to Sheep Podcast. Like, how is he doing that? That's how I'm doing it. Keep up the great work. I'll catch you soon. See ya. Hey, Elsie, it's Dave again. I just figured out why this is not working for you. I use the podcast app. So when I go into Clamor and I say, show my podcast, it's pulling them from the podcast app. You're using Castro, and my guess is they don't show up in when you click that My Podcast button in the Clamor app. For me, I'm using podcasts from Apple, and it's just two clicks, and I scroll through the list of my podcasts that I'm subscribed to or I have downloaded, and that's it. That's probably why you're taking a left turn there, is you're using Castro, and I'm using the podcast app. I think I've solved the mystery. Take care.
All right, Dave. I hear you. And I know, because I keep calling him out, you know, but first.
What are you talking about first? Because I couldn't understand.
I know. Well, I promise I will address the message. But before I do that, I want to tell you how awesome this man is. So
I know. He's super awesome.
I sent him a voice feedback for his show complaining about Clamor, which is what he is kind of trying to still help me with at this moment. As soon as I found out about Clamor, I had happened to have listened to his latest episode and he was talking about Clamor and he was so excited and I listened to all his stuff and I'm like, how is he doing all this? And so I immediately sent him a message. This was before you and I even talked about it. Mm-hmm. And so I think within a day he had sent me a video response for my question.
So awesome.
And I was like, oh, this is so great. But yeah, you didn't answer my question. So,
like I said, I think I said it to you earlier, that's why maybe I wasn't sure I understood what he was talking about, because I thought you asked him about workflow, right? And then what? And then what the hell did he say?
Well, because he was talking about, so at this moment in time.
And then what's funny? Okay. Wait. And then the funniest part is that when you forwarded it to me, you forwarded it to me as Google Voice.
Oh yeah.
Description. So like now, so first it was complete garbledygook, and it says like, "Hey, I'll see if they Jackson." Oh, I'm listening. Tissue contest of this is actually I'm calling on the 8 line, the comment on. So I was like, okay, I better listen to it. And then I was like, I hope I can listen to it and access it because otherwise, because it says that's how I'm making all these climbers. I was just in the sheep. It says he was just in the sheep, Elsie. That's anyway, Dave. Sorry.
Oh my God.
Reputation without sheep. I was just in the sheep.
I can't even take it.
I know. It's so funny. Anyway, that's a whole nother. Maybe that'll be a bonus. I'll read you what it actually says in the voice. I don't want to waste too much time.
Oh my God. That is insane.
Funny as hell. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I had to. Okay. So here's the thing. What he is mentioning. Oh my God. I'm bad. Is that at this moment, in order to pull content from other podcasts into Clamor. And just really quickly, ladies and gent, Clamor is a new app where you play 17 to 18 seconds of audio. It's sort of like a mini, it's kind of like, think about it like Twitter. So 140 characters or less, this is like 17 seconds or less of audio. And you can link back to another source. So you can have the 17 seconds of audio come up there. And you can link it back to a blog post. You can link it back to a video. You can link it back to another podcast episode, et cetera, et cetera. A file or a permalink, whatever you want to. The possibilities are endless. But the hard part is being able to get the information on there to be able to get this audio files in there. So what Dave has been doing and what he told me about in terms of his workflow is that when you go into Clamor, you can have different places that you can pull the source content. So within Clamor, you can use your iTunes library. So anything that's inside of your iTunes library or the podcasts app. That's also an option. The thing is that I don't use iTunes nor the podcast app for this. So if you do use those religiously, then it's super easy for you to pull that content. I don't. In fact, I really don't even like to open iTunes
it's a pain in the tush.
It's awful on a computer. And the podcast app I do use occasionally for when I'm searching for things or let's say to make sure that that our podcasts are published. I always check to make sure that they are in fact in iTunes. And so then I am subscribed to She Podcasts on that. And that's it, which would actually work very well because if I want to share snippets from She Podcasts, I could absolutely do that. The thing is that there are other bits and pieces of content that I'm using Clamor for. So Clamor for me is not about aggregating other audio pieces. It's me talking. So I'm creating specific content for Clamor, kind of like a reporter, like we talked about last episode. And so I'm trying to find an easy workflow that I can pull a lot of my 17 second audios and make it easy on myself so that I could just post them instead of having to sit here with the app and record 17 seconds and then going over to 20 seconds and then having to record over and over and over and over again and then posting it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So I have a solution, kind of. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. So there is a publisher portal. Did you know that? Because it's
nowhere. Where?
It's at publisher.clamor.com.
Which, no.
Yes. So it doesn't make
sense. Why don't they tell you?
Exactly. Well, they do if you watch their hour-long video. They actually...
the love of all that is holy.
I know. And so I was looking for this because I had heard Dave mention this. So
portal. They have a whole portal.
Yeah. So they have it. This is on a web portal. So this is you. If you go to Publisher.
I'm going there now. Sorry.
Publisher.clamor.com. You go in there. And then when you're in there, you have to link up your Clamor account from the podcast into the actual place. Let me see. Is this it?
Okay, Publisher? You just need to know your user and pass. Now I'm in there.
Yeah.
Clamor portal home. my posted clamors, create clamors.
Yes. So you can do that. And what's really cool about the publisher workflow here, this is online, guys. This is not on the app. This is actually
right.
on a browser. This is a browser portal.
Yeah.
You can create like batch produce. You can batch produce your 17 second bits and pieces of audio. You can pull them into there and you can, and this is the cool part. You can schedule it. So you can absolutely put everything in there. You can push the hashtags, the titles, your image, and all that stuff. And you can edit your previous clamors that you had in the past. So you can also do that, which is really, really awesome. So I still, at this moment, I've just been recording my 17-second clamors independently. I'm about to start to upload them all in at one time so that I can put them on there and then schedule them out and everything and see how that works. So I think that that will be really helpful for a lot of people.
Okay.
So
cool.
Does that make sense? So that doesn't that make it a little
sense.
Bit easier?
I can't believe it. Why? I mean, like, you can't just sign up and know that. You have to, like, get into it.
Yes, absolutely. I know. I think at this moment, they're trying to do their best to get as much information out. And they're really responsive and receptive. So
yeah, they're nice. They're nice.
They're very sweet. So I'm trying to see what else can happen here. And at this moment, well, that's the way that I'm going to try to do it. And again, for the workflow, this is also what Dave mentioned in terms of listening to another podcast. And let's say they say something that is like, oh my God, that would be like a tweetable or that is a clamor, if you will. What Dave does is he writes down. I don't know how he does this because I'm usually listening on the go, but he will write down the time code so that when he pulls the audio into Clamor, he can go to that place.
I mean, that's smart because it's smart if you are aware that you're going to be clamoring. Like right now, for example, when you and I know we're clamoring, if I happen to say something hilarious,
right,
you'll just have to write down the time for me so that I can go back in and clamor.
1938. No, but see, this is the really hard part though, is that, when we edit, because I could make those adjustments here, but there's a lot of times like, okay, so let's say we continue talking here and then May comes up here and then I leave for 5 minutes because something happens, that which happens all the time. That means that anything that happens after I'm back, if we want to clamor that, the time code's going to be all messed up because I usually take all that stuff out.
Well, you take that stuff out and then you take it out. First you take the clamor out, then you do the edits.
Oh, gosh. Well, see, that's going to be annoying. See, that's just making my head, like, twist.
What do you mean?
Well, because I have a work, like, I already have a workflow. I sit.
Do you write down when things get messed up? Is it on a list of, like, time? Like, do you have a list of time codes where you're like, okay, 11 minutes in, I had to go wipe an ass.
I know.
12 minutes in, I had to go blow a
nose. I do that. I actually, I do that for the feed. The feed is really easy for me. This one is a lot, it's a little bit harder for me. But what happens with me in the workflow with this is that I listen to our recording because I do the show notes. So I do the show notes slash editing at the same time.
Well, so what I was thinking is when you, if you know, just keep, make the whole list just do either put a C in front of it or do okay, clamor at this time, edit at this time. Oh, I see. But if you do the edits, you can't get the
right.
You've already shortened it.
Right.
Oh, balls.
I know. So that I'm trying to figure out, maybe one of my editing software can do this, but what would be really cool is if
you
I could just
it.
Like highlight, yeah, highlight the part, copy, and paste it in a new file. If that's the case, I haven't tried it in on. I'm sure it
or
can happen.
Or in GarageBand, you just don't, like once you've trimmed, don't push the two together. Trim everything, then push all the pieces together to make one show.
I get it. Yeah, so then I could be able to.
It's just a matter of like semantics, like when you're dragging what where.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out if it's worth it though, because that's also another question. I had an amazing conversation with Harry Duran. From Podcast Junkies, who is just a phenomenal person in the whole, just amazing. And we had a really lovely conversation about workflow and all kinds of stuff. He's doing some incredible stuff, pushing his content out to SoundCloud and YouTube. And he does it all via Allphonic. We can talk about this at another time because it's mind blowing. But I'm really, and I think that once you set up that workflow, it's great, but I'm trying to figure out like even then, let's say it'll take me, what, 15, 20 minutes for me to push it out there. Is even those 15, 20 minutes worth me doing it? Because at first it's going to be a learning curve and is it really that important? And so it's really about questioning. And that's what I'm questioning for Clamor. I'm trying to make it as easy for me so that I don't waste any time that should be put to podcasting school for women.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I don't want to be on Clamor land just because, you know, I mean, I
put it on hold, to be honest with you. I've gotten a bunch of audio ready for Clamor, just like I'm getting my solo show ready.
Right.
But I refuse to work on it until all my to-dos are done for podcasting school because there's too many squirrels.
Yeah.
And I can't keep up. So I'm just like, okay, I've committed to doing nothing but podcasting school until it's done. Then I'll go back to fiddling with my solo shows and making Clamors because I was in the middle of doing it. And then I got overwhelmed. Like, what am I doing? I never know what I'm doing. Right. So yeah, I'm right there with you.
Totally.
But I mean, you've already started, so I feel like don't let it slide. Just
yeah,
kind of like,
I'm going to just, and even if I just get one out a day, which is what is that? 17 seconds a day?
Yeah. Oh,
come on. Give me a
break.
Really,
this is really the medium where you have no excuse.
Right. And I already have three done. I already have it all set up. It's a matter of me falling through. But anyway, that was, and this one also, people have been asking me about this stuff. Kelly, the mighty Kelly Sunrose, has also wondered about it, and she's on Clamor as well. And I just kind of wanted to talk a little bit more about it because I feel the possibilities are really, really powerful there. And as a bonus, even if Clamor doesn't work out or if something happens with Clamor, you have now gotten new skills in how to share your content in 17 seconds or less, which I think is also a skill that we really need to have. Mm-hmm. So I feel it could be very helpful for you. So
my husband's bringing me tea. You are the best husband in the world.
Best husbands are always really amazing. Yay.
It's okay. What kind is it?
Orange.
Orange. Lovely. Raw honey. Thank you. He's so sweet.
Yes, he is. Because your voice is all groggy and sexy.
Oh, my God. What a blessing. Thank you, sweetheart. How come you can't eat raw honey when you're pregnant? Do you know?
The possibilities of stuff inside, because it's raw. Anything that's raw, there could be some bacteria. And there's a very specific, actually, you know, with pregnant, and also you're not supposed to give honey to
babies.
Yeah. Because there's a certain kind of, I'm not sure if it's bacteria. It could be bacteria that might be within there that is not so good for you.
Yeah. Hold on.
So,
what's up?
I was just looking at something.
Oh. Will you close the door?
Yeah. Well.
Thank you. We're taping. Sorry. I love you. He just started like poking around on my bookshelf. He brought me the tea, which is like, then he's like kind of like staring at like all my like CDs in my office. I'm just like, I mean, not that we're talking about anything personal, but.
Go away. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, my God.
Yes and no.
God.
That was really sweet because he's working from home. He had to stop what he was doing to bring it for me.
Oh, that's very sweet. That is absolutely sweet.
He's a sweetheart. I love when he works from home. I love it and hate it. Mostly I love it.
I know. We have talked about that also.
Yeah. Okay. We'll talk about that another time. Okay.
Right. So we're done with the Clamor. Clamor conversation is over. And thanks, Dave Jackson, for reaching out to us. And now we are going to be moving into a little bit of news that at least for a portion of the podcasting community was a little bit slightly shocking, which is that Podcaster's Paradise is in fact closed for those of you who joined. Because as of now, I believe they are closed proper.
Closed. They are closed.
You know, I was not or have not ever been a member of Podcaster's Paradise, nor the John Lee Dumas community or any of that stuff. So I'm not, I have really no firsthand experience with anything that is related that way.
All right, stop bragging, Elsie.
Oh, okay. Oh, come on. No, but you know what? My only experience is with his stuff, like with his work. Still, though, I've only listened to a couple of his personal episodes, but I did listen to his those mini kind of podcasts that he has on iTunes now, where they're just like that series, like one thing after the next, teaching the one thing. There's a podcasting one and a webinar one, I suppose. And those are really great. I mean, I think that they're fantastic. So I have listened to those, but I really don't know much of else. And I wanted to kind of discuss this from the perspective of the podcaster, not so much, or the potential podcaster, not so much about what you get when you get, you know, when you participate in these communities or these kind of like podcasting school for women, not so much about what you get, but as a podcaster, what is it that you're looking for? Or as a podcaster, what is You know, if you get all the information that you need, are you still going to be not doing it?
Are you still going to be not doing it?
Yeah, no. Meaning are you still going to get it and then not podcast or have expectations that perhaps you're looking for?
So what's the problem is what you're saying.
Yeah, so what's the problem? Yeah, exactly. So what's the problem? So why is because something happened, right? Or maybe they're just reevaluating things over on that
part
of the woods?
Here's my experience with John, just because I've never really talked about it before. But 2 years ago when I wanted to start my podcast, there wasn't a lot out there. And what was out there was expensive or like really technical. And John had an ebook for $5 on Amazon about how to start a podcast. And it was really an easy read. It was like easy to read and it came with some videos on how to like upload to iTunes and stuff like that. So he is really the reason why I started my show, because it was his like easy tech, here you go, here's how to do it, that really got me on there. I never really listened to the show, to be honest. I mean, I've been on the show and thank you, John, not that he listens, but I have a similar show, so I don't listen to his really. Anyway, so because I was already a customer, he sent emails to the people, I guess, who had bought the book, and he was like, hey, I'm starting this Podcaster's Paradise thing. You can get in on the ground floor. It'll be $197. And I was like, that'll be awesome. It was like, and his thing was create, grow, monetize. At this point, it was September. I'd started my show in May of 2013. It was September of 2013. So I was like, well, you know, I've created it. It's starting to grow. I'd really like to monetize it. I'm in. So I paid the $200, and the only videos available for like 7 months was create. And so I was like, oh, balls, right? Because I had already done that, right? I had already done that. And he starts to build the Facebook group and people are coming in and thank you so much. And this is just what I needed. And meanwhile, compared to everyone else in there now, I'm like a rook. I'm like a, you know, I'm like old hat, because everyone else is like just starting and, you know, and I'm already in there. I've already been doing it 7 months. So the grow stuff is finally ready. And I look at the grow stuff, and at the time it's like, okay, using intros and outros, being a guest on other shows, your website, and then he has social media, networking, and public relations. So I got all excited because I'm like, okay, what does he do for social media? And it's basically how to use Hootsuite, Edgar, Twitter, Facebook. It's stuff I teach.
Oh, right, right. You're like, hello.
So yeah. Now I'm just mad.
Right.
Aww. Because I'm like, what is happening right now? I'm like, well, all right, maybe the monetized part will be better. Another 3-4 months later, it took a long time probably to get all these videos. At first he's got like, just like how to use Audible as an affiliate.
Okay.
Most of it is like how to use all. Now I'm looking in there under monetize, and he's got a bunch of other ways to monetize. It says like how to use via affiliate relationships, products and services, speaking, coaching, mastermind, books, joint ventures, sponsorships. And then he's got two videos for that. Monetize affiliate, you know, and then each one has like, and then how to monetize via webinars, basically. So I haven't watched any of those videos because it took so long to get them up that by then I'd already figured it out on my own.
Right.
But when he says create, grow, monetize, it's really the create part that he's good at, because it's simple. It's easy to follow. He's very eloquent. It's not too technical. And he gives really good advice about like what makes a good podcast and how to find your topic. And like the thing is, though, that he's not – so the guy used to sell commercial real estate. So he's not particularly online business savvy. So it's not – about branding. It's not about audience. It's not about, there's nothing like that. There's no design help in there, which I kind of offer a little bit just because, you know, I hate to see podcast art that looks terrible. So like I like to help them like figure out how to make nice art, how to do it in Canva, whatever. There's nothing like that in there. It's basically, I mean, he has name, artwork, format, consistency of your podcast, the format, the artwork, and then what media host, how to use Libsyn or SoundCloud or whatever. But there's not really a lot of business advice, because that's not his strength. His strengths are the how-tos. That's why when it says grow, it's how to use Hootsuite, how to use Edgar, because he's assuming that everyone was like him and didn't know how to do that stuff from the beginning. So theory number one is that people join Podcasters Paradise thinking, I want all John's secrets and I'm going to make the money John makes. And it turns out that it's a bunch of how-tos they already know how to do. That is theory number one. Theory number two is that, okay, when you get into Podcasters Paradise, first of all, it's done through customerhub.net, which is the membership section of Infusionsoft. And it's a million videos. And to be honest, it looks like ass. It looks terrible.
Yeah, that's tough.
It's like, it's not designed well and it's awkward. Each video you have to click through. I mean, it's just, you know, I don't know. Infusionsoft does a lot of good things, but I'm not sure memberships is like the right thing to do.
I have been, I can attest to what you're saying because, you know, I've also had a lot of, I have had experience buying courses and I have had experience being in the back end of a course that I bought. And I have been, one of them was in Infusionsoft as well. And I was kind of like, what is this? Cause I was so confused because the URLs are all weird and Infusionsoft-y and it's not attractive. The information is there and you can absolutely
keep adding or whatever.
Yeah, totally. But
yes, like on the resources page, he has to have anchor tags because he's got email templates, document samples, how to's, working efficiently. But like you have to scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll to see all the resources. It shouldn't be that way.
Right.
Checklists and meetup hubs. I will say one thing he's done really well is webinars. He's had amazing people on webinars. Ramit, James Altucher, Pat Flynn, Amy Porter. You know, he gets really good people to come and talk about podcasting and their secrets and this and that. But the course itself, is it worth $1,000? I mean, to me, it wasn't. I'm glad I only paid $200 because most of the things in here I already know how to do. And so if I had paid $1,000 for it, I would be furious.
Well, I think that part of the big sales as of now, and which is also, you know, that what a lot of the bigger courses are also now really optimizing or pushing out front is the community.
Yes.
So when you buy it, you get the community.
Yes. And the community is nice and the people are really nice. I don't know how active he is in there because I'm not particularly that active in there all the time. Natalie mentioned something about how the same questions are asked over and over and over. And that's true because new people come in and they're like, where should I go to get artwork? And it's like been asked yesterday and the day before and the day before.
Right. And, but that happens everywhere though. I mean, that happens on She Podcasts all the time. We get that all the time. People, because what happens with any kind of community though, Jess, is that people come in and they just start screaming, but you know, they just start talking and they ask the same things over and over again.
It's totally okay. I mean, I don't want people to listen and think I'm bashing John because I like him and respect him a lot. And again, I owe him my podcasting life because if he hadn't put that ebook out, I wouldn't have my own show. But here the strengths are, if you're starting from scratch and you've never had an online business before and you've never done anything online before, Podcasters Paradise is the way to go because it teaches you how to do everything from scratch, including, like I said, how to use Twitter and Facebook and Hootsuite and Edgar and things like that. If you're more advanced technically or even online, you could probably find the stuff you need without paying this money, but true, then you won't have the community. But, you know, it's like he's got like recommendations for like, you know, how to get credit card payments and, you know, who his accountant is. And like, you know, it's just like, it's good. And then the webinars again are probably really good if you're into webinars, which I kind of don't have time for that, but a lot of people love his webinars and he's great at them. And again, his strength is being a host. So hosting webinars, he's a natural. He's a great host. He's a great show host. He's a great webinar host. And the how-to stuff from on the basic level is really good. But if you are like me and you've had your show 6 months and you really want like to level it up, I'm not sure that he can help you. And you would think that he would be able to because his success is so great. But the thing is, his success is I don't think based on any major secret. I think it's one, he got in with very influential promoters and slash friends, and they all have huge audiences, and they've made his audience huge. So like when you're really good friends with Amy Porterfield and she promotes your course, of course it's going to like get crazy and be amazing, you know, or Lewis Howes or just whoever. And I think the second thing is, and I've said this before, he started out with a lot of help. I mean, all of us are doing it on our own and then we hire someone, but he had a little bit of bank. So he hired three VAs right off the bat. So he was able to do seven shows a week and not be bogged down by guest intervention and booking stuff. And I mean, like he immediately had like tons of help, and most of us don't have that. And let's not even go into the fact that he's not married and he has no kids and this is his only job, blah, blah, blah. That's not even the point. I mean, it is, but it isn't, because everybody, you know, there's lots of people out there who are going to be more successful than those of us who have, who are being pulled in eight directions. His tactics aren't really anything like groundbreaking. There's nothing groundbreaking about how or why he got famous. It's just that he's good and he has, was able to grow an audience very, very quickly. Now, the other thing I wanted to address was something you said about what are they not getting what they think they're getting? So let's go on the homepage. Create, grow, and monetize your podcast. Technically, I mean, yeah, I guess you could do that with his course. What is it? Unlimited access to video tutorials, private Facebook group, monthly webinars, live Q&As. He does one a month. And then create. Are you looking to create? We have 50 that will help you with that. Focusing on everything before you actually hit the record button, like defining your avatar, finding your niche. But I don't personally think that's his strength, and I don't think those videos were that helpful. Grow, several tutorials going over social media tactics, platform building tips. Again, I'm not sure this is his really his forte either. Not that he grew by accident or that he's just lucky, but I don't think he really shares like, oh yeah, every time someone tweets me, I retweet, you know what I mean? Or I don't know that he shares any major secrets in there. And then monetize, which again has improved since I joined, but it's still how's he going to, let me just ask you something. Is really John Lee Dumas going to teach me how to become a speaker and monetize my podcast by saying how to monetize your podcast via speaking? It's one video.
Right, right.
Is he going to change my life and make me a world-class speaker with that one video? I would be shocked. I'll eat my shorts if that happens.
I think that there's, yeah, and you're absolutely right. Like a lot of this stuff I do feel requires, and this is what I've seen working with podcasters myself and being able to kind of help individuals specifically, like with, you know, the Sheep VIP that we've been doing with our ladies that have been showing up in there. It's everybody in terms of the podcasting space. Everybody is a little bit different and everybody has a different audience, and those audiences respond to different things. Yeah.
And different strengths.
Absolutely. And different strengths. So if like, I'm not looking to be a speaker, so that obviously doesn't affect me. But if I were to be, okay, so one of the biggest things, and you know, Esprit DeVore and I have talked about this in the past, and as well as you and I, that we're looking to find a way to create a business with our, like with our podcast being the product itself, that might, or, you know, as of now, the only way to really do that is via advertising or sponsorship.
No, that's not true.
And then, well, yes. And what I'm saying is that the podcast without creating other products is what I'm saying. Like, I don't want to sell something else. Like we get paid to get behind the mic and do this episode. That's what we get money for. That's what we make the majority of the money for. And the only models that I've seen out there have been via sponsorship or Patreon models, like, you know, like the kind of where people pay you to do this. You know, I have seen that succeed. But you do require a very specific and strong base to do that. And that's kind of where I'm looking for, like, what are the key features for that to happen? And there's so much involved, like right now. I got to tell you that for, you know, my one of my favorite podcasts, the Daily Tech News Show. Like, he is now up to almost, I think, 5,000 a month, I think, is it, for his Patreon page. And he is now able to, in when did he start? Let me remember.
Oh, my God.
I don't think it was this year.
I feel like it was a year ago.
It was a year and a half. And so now he's up to a point where he is now hiring his friends, hiring, mind you, hiring his friends to come on the show. How amazing is that?
It's amazing.
So that they can come over and do like a roundtable discussion, how, you know, the kind of those podcasts, and now they show up and he can pay them.
Yeah.
You know, but how cool is that? I mean, that's his full-time job. He does a 5 days a week podcast, news podcast. He works a lot. What I'm saying is that's what I'd be looking for. That's the answer I want. I don't want you to give me all of the other stuff because that's what I want to do. Then there's people who, of course, I just saw another article for Showrunner. In fact, I just closed it up and it said like something like the best way to make money podcasting that is not sponsored or something like that. And it really goes into creating courses for your work. That's like the way to do it. That's the way to make money podcasting is to create
a course. It's just one way, for the love of God. It's just one way.
And so, but what I'm saying is like, there's all of this stuff that is out there and everybody needs step-by-step instructions for the entirety of it.
Yeah, I know. But not everyone can give that. Like like John doesn't need to teach me how to make a course. He's there to teach me how to make a podcast.
Right.
And that's why these Let's Monetize videos are probably not worth much, because he's probably just telling you what a product and service is, why people would want it, the end. If you want to learn that information, you're going to have to go somewhere else. Let me see how long that video is. Products and services, 15 minutes.
But I have to tell you, though, you know, there's when we went to New Media Expo and I was at the Lipson booth,
mm-hmm.
I can tell you that I would say almost 95% of the people that came up there asked about monetization. So this is our banner. So our banner behind this Lipson banner. On the bottom it says the podcast hosting, distribution, and monetization. Oh, it's behind Rob's head and I can't read the last part. But anyway, it says the podcast hosting, distribution, and monetization models, I guess, or solutions.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
and everybody that I'm sorry, what?
Do offer a good amount of ways, but they're again just one way. There's many ways.
There are many ways. But see, here's my problem with this. It's not that the solutions aren't out there, but these are people who are coming up looking at that, oh, podcast hosting, distribution methods and monetization. How can you help me make money? Okay, what's your podcast? Oh, I don't have one yet.
Well, right.
Well, that's what happens. It's like people come in here and they're like, oh, I just started. How do I make money?
Yeah,
and we got that so, I mean, it was overwhelming and I would just sit there and go, really? You're really asking me this question? And it was so hard for me.
But Elsie, because why do it if you can't make money doing it? Time is money, honey.
Right.
And so, I know you and I are just like the passion, the glory. Yeah. But really, most people are like, if I can't make money doing this and you can't tell me how I'm going to make money doing this, I'm going to just go ahead and do what I'm doing already.
All right. So then, okay. So we'll turn it around and get this really into the nitty gritty then. Then we are selling podcasting to people. So,
yes.
And all they want is to make money. So.
But Elsie, our course has a whole business model.
Right.
Simple, easy sales funnel. Here's how you start. But it doesn't say at the start of your show, have a commercial for everything you're going to sell. I mean, the process is you start your show, you build your audience, you see what kind of stuff they're asking, you put out a small product. If they bite, you do a bigger product. You bite, you know, but I mean, there's no like, oh, you're going to have a podcast about movies. You're going to sell a ton of t-shirts. Oh, you're going to have something about yoga. You're going to sell a lot of yoga mats as your affiliate sponsorship. I mean, like each person, each show is different. There are a million ways to monetize the podcast. They all require work.
Yes.
They all require you to really have a good show. So don't start a show but you can't say to people, don't start a show if the only purpose is to monetize, because they can't all just start it for the love of hearing their own voice like you and I. They just can't. Some people are just trying to make a buck, you know, and they think they'll be good at it and maybe it'll be fun. But also, how can I make money and get on the bandwagon? And we don't want to tell them we don't want you, or that's not the right reason.
Yeah.
Because you know what I mean? Like our course even offers like, these are the top 10 ways people make money. Here's like the easiest way to start doing that. And it will happen for you, but you know, I even offer, I think, a 6-month business plan in there. There's like a whole workbook, a 6-month business plan workbook, because it's not right away, but they can make money in 6 months if they build a decent audience.
Yes. And I think that part of the process there, especially with our first module that we have in there, that it is all about asking those hard questions before you start.
Yeah.
Then annoying things that your mom told you to pay attention to.
Yeah.
That you totally were like, I don't want to look at that. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, I should have listened to her. So it's, even though it's hard, it's one of those things where we really empower you to make sure that this is a possibility for you in the first place, so that you recognize where the pitfalls are from the get-go, not for everybody, but for you. Because especially with things like tech, let's say creativity or your work life or your professional life or your personal life, if there is no bandwidth for you to use from the get-go to start to work on this podcast, don't expect it to work and might as well know it right from the get-go. So we do have a way for you to start to check that stuff out from the beginning. And let's say, you know, you don't have the time to be doing all this stuff, then we do offer an option for that, you guys, so that you guys can start to see that you can outsource certain things if necessary and absolutely for you, right? So It's those are the things that I'm a lot more passionate about, that it's, for me, this is an amazing opportunity to get behind the mic and let your conversation, the kind of conversation that you want out there, to be out there. But it also requires work, and I want to make sure that you succeed. That's the whole point. I want you to know that this is going to be kind of like for the long haul. It's not something that you can absolutely do and like, well, you could get something done in a couple of weeks, actually, and put it up and you'll be
done. Come on, yeah. 2 weeks. If you're not doing anything else.
Yeah. You could absolutely start it. And what's lovely about podcasting is that you can do it your way. I think the expectations are the ones that I'm trying to kind of handle in some way, because it's just a little bit too out of control with what people imagine behind podcasting, that if you just do this one thing, it will absolutely 100% start to, create, I don't know, an avalanche of stuff, which is one of the reasons why, Jess, I wrote in our show notes today some of those stats. Mm-hmm. Because the median, and these are like stats that are that were released in the month of February and measured until the end of March. So this is obviously a couple of weeks later. These are outdated stats as of now, a couple of weeks, like a month, almost yeah. 2 months later. But the median that we first talked about in about 3 weeks ago, or I think it was three episodes ago or something like that, was 200 downloads. Now the median number has lowered, which means that they're now at 170 downloads. And the median number is that half of the almost, let's say, I think it's 18,000 to 20,000 podcasts that are hosted at Libsyn. Half of those have 170 downloads or less, and half of those have 170 downloads or more. So
those of you who are feeling all sad about your episode downloads, most people only get around 170 per episode.
Yeah. And then, so if you break that down, and that's per month, that's per month.
Yeah.
So now break that down into week. Imagine how many downloads a week that is. That's like less than 25, right? So 25 a week would be 200 downloads a month.
Correct.
So yeah, isn't that insane? So if you start to look at those kinds of numbers, if you're around 20 downloads a week, you're doing better than most.
Yeah.
But then if you start to think about monetizing that, how do you turn 20 downloads into a viable cash cow? It takes so much more work. So all we're saying is this is the truth behind that. And there's actually been a podcasting fact sheet that just came out that was, because remember how we talked about the upfront last week?
Yeah.
And there has been so much conversations about all the podcasting stuff that's been out there, and how like even the big media is having kind of a little bit of a hard time selling this because the stats are not really out there. And there's some things like, you know, podcasting listenership, the percentage of Americans who have listened to a podcast in the past month has almost doubled since 2008 from 9% to 17% by January 2015. Mm. The percentage listening in 2015 was up 2 points over the 2014. So it was at 15% last year. It's at 17% this year. So that's like 2 percentage points that have gone up. 1/3 of Americans have listened to podcasts. So that's kind of nice, right? That's not
that's
so bad.
Awesome.
And then podcasting
kind of amazing.
It's kind of so podcast awareness of podcasting among Americans 12 years of age and older has more than doubled since 2006, when Nielsen measured it at 22%. Overall, awareness of podcasting is increasing at a modest pace, with roughly half, 49%. That's not bad. Of Americans aged 12 and up aware of podcasting by early 2015, up only slightly since 2010, which was at 45%. So even if you start to think about that, though, to 2010 to 2015, it's only gone up, you know, 4 percentage points then. But it's still, I mean, it's pretty cool to start to see that. And there's actually one more thing that I wanted to share here in terms of the data. Podcast download request increased in 2014. So mobile devices are increasingly preferred way to listen to podcasts. Libsyn also recorded that of their 2.6 billion podcast downloads in 2014, 63% were requested by mobile devices, up from 43% in 2012. So that's pretty crazy pants. So yes, the industry is moving and the industry is growing, but it's still a baby. So, You know what I mean? I want you guys to think that you are pioneers when you're stepping into the space of creating your own. You guys are on your own little, media moguls, and you get an opportunity to grow your own studio the way that you see fit. Nobody out there has the answer for you to just follow. No one does. And if you follow the steps that somebody else has done, you may or may not get the same results. Because the X factor is, of course, you, which is why movie stars oftentimes get paid so much money, because they end up carrying movies at times, right? Because sometimes it's because of them that people start to watch movies as opposed to whether or not the movie is good or not. So we are the media people. We are the people that are in the front. And we are the ones that need to get better at doing what we want to do. And it requires us to take that responsibility.
Yeah.
Off of my soapbox now.
Yeah, I mean, you're totally right. You're totally right.
So, So, I mean, I guess this conversation was really about, yes, the information is valid for how to podcast stuff, especially if you're searching for it. There is a ton out there that is for free. And there, of course, are places that you can kind of join or buy or purchase, like the Podcasting School for Women course, which will make everything accessible for you there so that you don't have to be searching anywhere, right? So all of that knowledge, as much as it is powerful, it really requires you to step into it and ask the right questions for yourself. And for you to have like kind of like that that fire underneath your bum. To really make it work for you.
Yeah, it's all individual, but you can make money. There's so many different ways.
Yes, absolutely.
And so many ways.
All that, that information that I just shared for you, I will put a link in the show notes for that. And that was from journalism.org, excuse me. And it's a podcasting fact sheet. It's a really nice little kind of article that they have. It's from, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I mean, I just want to reiterate that more than half of all podcasts have 170 downloads or less per episode.
Yeah.
Just remember that, you guys, because most people are sad about their stats, and they shouldn't be, because it's normal not to have that many.
And it takes time for you to grow. That's the other thing. It does take a lot of time for you to grow, and it's different. It's sort of like, you know, when you're featured in iTunes and all that stuff, of course people are going to buy your stuff. I don't know. You know what they do on Whole Foods all the time? Every single time there's a new product, especially candy or chocolate, it's always at the front. It's always right there when I'm paying. And it's like, oh, 2 for 99 cents or $1.99 for 5 or whatever. And I always end up buying that candy.
and then all of a sudden
when it's gone, I'm like, where is that candy? And you cannot find it. It's like there's been a couple. There's these candy bars that I love. They're called Ocho. O-C-H-O.
Ocho.
Ocho candy bars. And then every time that I would go up there, I found this one that was like a peanut butter and caramel one that was so yummy and delicious. And it was my like sinful pleasure. It was always at the counter, and then it disappeared. And it wasn't even in the chocolate aisle. And I would go, where is the Ocho? candy bars. And it was like, I was obsessed though. But you know, if somebody wasn't as obsessed, they wouldn't be able to find the Ocho candy bar and they would just go find the other one. That's what, you know, iTunes is, and you are noteworthy. At first you'll see it and then it'll be gone, and then it'll be gone.
So, yeah.
So it's up to you, Ocho candy bar, to make people obsessed with you. So.
Oh my God. What is in that candy bar?
I don't know.
I need to know.
It's just good. I just thought it was great. Now you're going to have to go look it. I'm going to put a link in the show notes for that. My Ocho candy bars, because they're so yummy. Okay. In a breath. And what's next? What time is it? Holy cow. Are we going to have to? I think we're going to have to we're going to cut it short here, dude.
Oh, yeah. They look good, the Ocho.
Aren't they yummy?
They look good.
Oh my God. If you guys buy Ocho candy bars, let me know. Let me know which is your favorite. My favorite, I think it's the peanut butter one. Peanut butter something. There's like a mocha one. They have like a sort of like
caramel, peanut, coconut, peanut butter, mocha, dark coffee, and variety pack.
Yeah. And so those
I've never even seen this candy before. And I consider myself a candy connoisseur.
Well, this is what I'm saying. It's only like at Whole Foods, like out the counter, that you don't see them anywhere else. So
at Whole Foods, I wouldn't have seen it.
Well, that's you start to see that they appeal to the right person, right? Because I'm going to buy that candy bar. I'm not going to go into your local, you know, whatever grocery store and get Snickers bars. I'm not going to do that, but I will get that one. Just because of the packaging of the, you know, of the company, and because of it was at Whole Foods. So obviously it's organic in some way or good for you.
With the Whole Foods?
They've sold me
right
on that.
The extra cream brie, which is also still good for you from Whole Foods.
Yeah. So, all right, guys. So if you guys, after we've just discussed all of this and you still would like to be part of Podcasting School for Women,
we would love to have you.
Absolutely.
And I do my best. I mean, I took Podcasters Paradise, so I made it sort of my business to make sure I filled in the gaps for things that I needed from there and put it into my own course. Because besides the fact that I wanted women to have a safe place to learn and feel like they weren't stupid by asking a million questions, I also was like, this is what's missing for me that I've figured out on my own and put it in there. So it's just something to think about. I think John is great. I know when he comes back with Podcasters Paradise, I'm sure it'll be amazing. But in the meantime, if you're itching and burning to get your show out, give us a try. See what you think.
Yeah. So podcastingschoolforwomen.com. And of course, we have our own little commercial that you guys have been hearing at the end of the show. And Jen Eads has done a wonderful job of producing
that
for us.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you.
Yes, it's been awesome. So there's links to her in every single one of our show notes. If you scroll all the way down, and if you want her to work on your jingles or your stuff or your voiceover, you can absolutely 100% hire her. She does stellar audio work. Mm-hmm. So there you have it. So if you have any feedback, please email us at feedback@shepodcast.com, or you can send us audio feedback. You can attach it to that as well to your email, or you can just use SpeakPipe, and you can find us at speakpipe.com/shepodcasts. If you have the app, I believe you just have to search for She Podcasts and you will find us. And so
right on, yo.
And we look forward to chatting with you next time. Oh my God. And next time it's episode number 50.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. Yep. So we're looking forward to that. Yay.
Thank you guys so much for listening.
Yes. Okay. Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye.
Remember, if you want to do podcasting your way, do it upright. And head on over to podcastingschoolforwomen.com. Changing the world, one episode at a time.